And good afternoon, it's Rod McClure and I'm here with Bent A Heart. And we've changed the name of our program somewhat. We're referring to ourselves now as Health Check.
Health Checks or Chats or whatever chat. We do, yeah.
Health, yep.
We'll have a bit of a chat about what's going on out there around health.
And yeah, sounds good.
Yep.
But before we do, a word from our sponsors.
Braidwood Community Bank, your local community bank supporting your local community. For all your banking needs and financial advice, the Braidwood Community Bank is there to help. For more information, visit the Braidwood branch or phone 4842 1700. Braidwood Community Bank, a proud sponsor of Braidwood FM.
Braidwood Servicemen's Club,
your local friendly club.
Whether you're looking for a round of golf, a delicious meal, or a drink with friends, the Braidwood Servicemen's Club boasts a range of recreational and sporting facilities to cater for every taste.
The restaurant provides Chinese and Australian meals and is open for lunch and dinner Tuesday to Sunday.
Braidwood Servicemen's Club, 4842 2108.
Located on the corner of Coronation Avenue and Victory Street, Braidwood.
A sponsor of
Braidwood FM.
Braidwood's Halfcut Barber is now open at the Braidwood Hotel, offering traditional grooming services for the men of Braidwood. Walk-ins are welcome. Contact Halfcut Barber Braidwood through their webpage. Proud sponsor of Braidwood FM 88.9.
Marvel at the difference and enjoy the experience of Tombara by the river. With 12 self-contained studio units and a three-bedroom cottage, Tombara can cater for up to 50 guests in a comfortable, relaxing and peaceful bushland setting. Tombara is a magnificent rural retreat with a relaxing atmosphere and first-class accommodation and conference facilities. You can contact the manager on 0448 533 616. Tombara, a proud sponsor of Braidwood FM 88.9.
Well, we're back.
Yeah, and let's go back to one of our loved subjects.
Oh, it's kept us occupied for the last 3 years.
Yeah, and I'm still saying, damn, I wish I'd been wrong.
Yes, well, you weren't. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, so we'll talk COVID.
We'll talk COVID.
And we'll also talk a little bit of flu and a little bit of cold because, let's say, it's the season.
It is the season. We're coming up very close to it, actually.
Yeah, well, we have had the typical Braidwood autumn weather, four seasons in a day in the last week, so...
It's been pretty incredible, hasn't
it? Yeah. Cold, hot, cold, hot. We don't know whether it's coat or no coat and short sleeves, long sleeves. What are we doing? What are we putting on of clothes? Or do we just put on a layer from the beginning and take it off and put it back on?
Oh, it's been incredible. Well, long COVID.
Long COVID is a really interesting little kettle of fish because when you start to read about it, the problem is actually around terminology or what we are calling it because... Has it something to do with some people saying, oh, I've got long COVID, but what they're having is actually reoccurring COVID infections.
Okay.
Which is not long COVID.
Right.
So long COVID is like when you have symptoms way past when we expect, like COVID in general, we're expecting people to be flattened for a couple of weeks.
Right.
But when it lasts over 3 months, we have an issue.
You said something really interesting there. I think the general feeling out there is that, you know, you get COVID once, maybe twice, but you're saying you can have it repeatedly.
Oh, yeah, because this is the coronavirus is an expert at mutation, which means it the gift that keeps giving, keep coming back.
So each one is different enough that...
Different enough to that we can start back again. And also keeping up the vaccines and redeveloping them to keep up with the speed of the virus... Because it was actually quite interesting. I was sitting looking at the New South Wales Health's weekly report that comes out because we're still losing somewhere between 20 to 30 people a week.
We've actually buried that pretty well, haven't we?
We have buried that pretty well. But just going through the last months of reports, yeah. So they come out every week, it's between 20 to 30 people each week that dies from COVID.
That's in New South Wales?
That's in New South Wales only.
Only? Oh, my goodness.
So it's very efficient still. And now, so we've talked about Omicron has been our big variant, when it was also known as BA or BA1 or BA4, BA5. That has really been our big one, but in the last couple of months, it has had competition.
Right, so there's a new variant.
There's a new variant, and that is called XBB. And then again, you have subvariants out of that. So this is a descendant from Omicron.
The great-great-grandson of...
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, my God.
So, and that's why we can keep getting repeated infections, because there's now a new one. New kid on the block.
Right.
And I know, particularly having said had a bit of a read around it, India have had quite a bit of fun with this new one and has been quite concerned.
Right.
And sort of its other more popular names has been something like Kraken or Arcturus. So there's a couple of subgroups coming in that one there, but that is giving a little bit of AI from the World Health Organization's going, have we got a new problem?
So this could lead to yet another vaccine.
Another vaccine, another wave or two of COVID.
Is there an end in sight to this? I mean, people did say that it would burn itself out. It doesn't appear like it's going to.
I can't answer the questions because I literally don't know.
No, I don't think
I would wish I
does.
Could just say, look, it's getting there, we're getting there. But it seems to be the gift that keep on coming back giving. So.
Yeah.
So because when you also look at it with the new one that's coming out, unfortunately appears to be more transmissible, which means it's a better spreader.
Right.
Which is probably why I could run the old one over.
Right.
And one good thing is it's not worse, but it's not better either in the amount of sickness we can get from it, from what we can see at this point in time.
So it's more or less in terms of mortality and illness where we've been.
Yeah, but better getting around the system, because the new variants that's come out seems to do what viruses do, and they do their best to avoid the immune system.
Right, because it can kill them.
Yeah. Well, it's not as much fun as if you can actually run around and make a party in the street, and then before the cops come, make a bit more of a mess before they find you. So
gremlin on the loose.
Yeah, something like that. So it's just to be aware that we gotta continue to be vigilant around. If you are unwell, there's no such thing as soldier on. Go home.
Yeah.
And stay home until you're better. And one thing, and that's just from my observation over the last few months, is that a lot of people say they test and they're negative, they test and they're negative, then they test again on the rats, then they're positive. And that's because it takes a little bit of time for the system, even though you're already unwell and most likely spreading, you haven't got enough virus in the system to register on the rat test. Because you need to have enough virus on board, and you need to do the test right too. Let's say that there could be potentially be some user problems in this one too. So,
I think one of the problems that we're facing is that with the economic situation the way it is, simply affording the tests for a lot of people is a big issue now.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. So, and again, if you are unwell, don't go out and start doing all your own things. If you can have somebody do it for you, so you are not going out spreading whatever, and if you do have to go out, put on a mask, so at least you can try and contain it.
Mm.
And they're still saying the best thing is to stay at home if you at all can find other solutions. And pretty please with sugar on, don't enter any health facility if you are unwell. Yes, you are unwell. Ring the doctors, ring the pharmacy, ring the hospital. Use your phone, which hopefully will be working. Because if you bring it into them, you can risk, like you imagine if you were carrying a contagious virus, you can manage to take out a whole facility with it.
There is you really have to think about it, don't you, Benta?
Yeah, so please, like, yes, the government's saying we don't need to wear a mask, we don't need to do so much now, but common sense is okay, and considerations for everybody else around you, because The people that you're putting at risk is anyone who has already potential health issues or their immune system is not, for whatever reason, working very well. That can be due to disease or medications they need to use to control disease. Their immune system can maybe not be as responsive. So if they get COVID because you chose to go out and not worry about it, you can actually be the one they, if not kill someone, at least send someone to hospital.
One of the interesting things is that because it's been, well, governments have taken it off the radar pretty much.
Yeah.
It was news to me when you said that there's a new variant because, you know, I read pretty widely and so on, listen to a lot of current affairs. But there's been no mention of this so far. Very little.
There has been a little mention, but it hasn't been loud.
No, yet. It hasn't.
But if you look at the graphs that I was looking at, this one here, the new ones, have really come in since February. They're sort of starting to poke their head through. And now, with the last report that I'm looking at, where they had it up until the beginning of April, they're beginning to suddenly, you're going, whoa, we're getting a little bit of size on us here. Out of the people that, because also, they say maybe there's 9,000 cases known in the last week. That's the ones we know of that has been registered with New South Wales Health. And for me, that's the top of the iceberg because there's all those people who's no longer registering anyway, who just stays at home, keep their COVID to themselves, hopefully, but they're not registered. They're not signed up anywhere. So we actually don't know how big this
is. It actually is.
One thing actually that I would say would be a great thing for as many people as possible to do, that is to join something called flu tracking. So it's an Australian government thing where you get an email every Monday morning saying, log your symptoms for the last week. Have you been vaccinated? Yeah or nay for COVID and for the flu. And what they then do is that they correlate this and they can then find the waves depending on whatever's going on. That program has actually run. In the past, it ran every winter. But since COVID, they have done it 12 months a year.
And that sort of informs health professionals.
It informs us around what's going on, how bad it's looking. And right now, they said on a couple of weeks ago, they said it doesn't look too bad, but it's going up now. And that also fits with what I could read in the latest report from New South Wales Health, is that they said a couple of weeks ago, they said we didn't really see much flu, but now the flu is coming. Now they're beginning to get a raise in cases. And that fits with what we can see on the graph from flu tracking too, is that it's beginning to come up. So, and how much will it come up? All depending on how well we contain ourselves if we're sick.
So the onus is very much as it was all the way through this. It's very much on ourselves and individual responsibility.
Yep. Your individual responsibility and your responsibility to yourself and your others and your community as a whole.
Yeah, well, we have a sizable elderly population in Braidwood.
That's sort of and the other thing that I came across too that I haven't been able to verify, but that is that the new COVID viruses there's out have what we call an R number. So that was something we talked about a couple of years ago, was how contagious a disease is. And they're talking around an R number of 10, which is scary. That means that one person with this disease can give it to 10 others. That's high, and that means that it's going to, within a couple of generations, multiply big time. The standard flu has an R number of 2 to 2.5. So there's a huge difference.
That's very sobering.
Yeah. So that's why I'm saying don't just go ahead. Do the right things. You're sick. Stay home. If you've got to blow your nose, follow the guidelines for use a tissue, like a paper tissue. Throw it out. Wash your hands afterwards. So reduce the spread. Wear a mask when you're out. Particularly if you're just feeling a smidgen unwell, put a mask on. When you walk into the supermarket, think of the poor people who has to work in there. I'm sure they would like not to bring an extra present home at night time.
I think you're absolutely right. And we're going back to where we were before, Benta, in the sense that it's, people call them the frontline workforce who are dreadfully at risk.
Yeah. Like, I know the hospitals are much better set up, like, in order to contain things. The supermarket, they have no barrier.
That's right. And... It's just very I use the word sobering, and it really is.
Yeah.
You'd like to think somehow we could get on top of this thing.
Yep.
But as you said, it's the nature of viruses. They're clever.
Yeah. Oh, well, this is why they have endured for millions of years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So take your precautions, do the right things, and then you're going, now, how do I know if I have a cold? Do I have the flu? Do I have COVID? Well, it's a hard thing to figure out because they have several symptoms in common. So if you start to look through, like all of them commonly causes a cough. So if you hear someone cough, you don't know whether it's COVID, flu, or a cold, or something else.
Mm.
There's so many things that can cause that. So actually, I know a lot of people, like, they've been scared of coughing in public.
Mm.
Because, God, do people think I'm sick? Well, it could be so many other things, but I'm sure that the one standing beside you wouldn't want whatever you're carrying. So always make sure if you're coughing that you're covering your mouth, washing your hands, and actually preferably cough into your elbow or something like that so it's not spread.
Mm.
Contain the things. Other things that's common both for cold and COVID and sometimes flu not as much, is a sore throat. So you don't know if it's a cold or COVID. And plus there's other types of... So the problem is colds are usually caused by rhinoviruses, but they can also be caused by some type of coronaviruses, but not COVID.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah.
So it's sort of... That's why both of them can give very similar symptoms in some cases. One thing that is a huge difference from COVID to both the common cold and flu is shortness of breath. If you have shortness of breath, we're going to start thinking COVID.
COVID, okay.
What else have we got? Fever is common with the flu. Very common. You sometimes get it with COVID. It's a little bit more unclear. And it's rare with the cold to get a fever. You just feel
off.
Unwell. Mm. Yeah. Fatigue is very common with both the flu and with COVID. You sometimes get a bit of fatigue with the cold, but not as much. Loss of taste or sense of smell, that can happen with all three of them sometimes. So that one is actually not that classic to some degree, because if you are having a really bad cold, you are so stuffed up that you can't smell anything anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's why that one can... Body aches and pains is very common with the flu.
Yep.
Sometimes with COVID, and you don't have it with the cold. So if you have body aches and pains, you might have to think flu first, but have COVID as your second destination.
Mm.
Headaches, common with all three of them. And that's, again, important too, to keep up your fluids if you are unwell. And a stuffy runny nose, as we said, like the viruses that's causing the cold could be a little bit similar to COVID sometimes. So stuffy runny nose is common both with COVID and with the cold. So again, if you see someone with a stuffy runny nose, it does not necessarily mean COVID. They could also have a common cold.
Hmm.
So there's options there. You sometimes get it with the flu. Diarrhea, mainly with the flu and particularly in children.
Right.
Not so much with COVID or the cold. Sneezing is very common both with COVID and the common cold. And then we've got to think allergies is another thing that can cause a lot of sneezing.
Yeah.
But the season is not so grand on that one at the moment.
Mm. Yeah, spring is the...
It's the big one for that. And then vomiting is particularly common in children with the flu, not so much adults, sometimes with COVID and rare with the cold. So you can see trying to figure out what do I have looking at my symptoms is not an easy thing.
No, there's a bit of a smorgasbord there that you...
Yeah.
And
then, and I think probably the comment I most enjoy, I think is hilarious, is when people come in and say, I got a cold, I want to nip it in the butt. You can't, you got it.
And you've got to see it through.
Yeah. You can treat the symptoms and help you feel better, but you got to remember if you're treating symptoms so you're feeling better, you're still contagious.
Hmm.
So you can't stop it. It's got to run its course. You can treat the symptoms of particularly the common cold with cold and flu tablets or medication in order to the Panadol in that or paracetamol will help any aches and pains, fever and that. So that's why it's particularly good for the flu. So it, So it will help with that. And you will have some agency and they will dry all the muck up in your sinuses so you're not as runny in the nose. And that's sort of where they will help you. But they won't stop it.
Yeah, it's
the thing that will stop it is to go home, go to bed, keep up your fluids, look after yourself, take a couple of days out to give your body time to rest.
Well, it's a difficult one, isn't it?
Yeah, I never said this one was going to be an easy one. So also another thing we were talking a little bit about, that is antivirals for COVID.
That was an interesting off-air conversation, actually.
Yeah, there was a little couple of interesting bits in that one. So what we were talking about is that there's two types of antivirals, oral tablets, so things you take by mouth, on the market. Lagevira and Paxlovid, the two products are called. Now, one of them, the Lagevira, has not so many drug interactions, but may not be the strongest one of them, but works well in most cases. Paxlovid may be a little bit stronger, but again, there's a lot of research and juries out of this back and forward, so I can't tell you which one is best for you, but the Paxlovid has an interesting interaction profile with a lot of medication, so we need to take a whole heap more things into consideration using that one. So, and that's why we're sort of often seeing one used over the other. It depends on circumstance. So, and to make sure in the end, it's important that if you have a positive test for COVID, that you contact your doctor right away, even if you're not feeling too off colour. Because COVID can tip in a couple of days and become nasty. And that's why you need to get on, if you are eligible, to the antivirals as soon as possible. Don't sit around and wait and see if it gets worse.
And you had an interesting, you gave me an interesting learning experience anyway about Braidwood in particular.
Yeah, so that comes down to who's eligible. Okay, if you are over 70, no other risk factors, you are eligible for the antivirals because just age is a risk factor, unfortunately, with COVID. But adults with mild to moderate COVID who has been confirmed on either a PCR or RAT test, so you need to have a confirming test to be able to get these antivirals. If you can't get a confirming test, you can't get it. So what is subsidized now? So the PBS subsidized the Paxlovid. So that's the one that we got to manage the interaction profile with. By the doctor or authorized nurse practitioner, unfortunately, we don't have any of those in Braidwood. Now, it has to be one within 5 days of symptoms. So you might have had symptoms for 2 days. On day three, you pull a positive test. You need to ring your doctor today to get onto antivirals. And then we say, okay, people who are 60 to 69 years of age with one additional risk factor for developing severe disease is eligible. And then we talked about what is risk factors. Okay, so we talked about anyone who's in a residential aged care facility or people who has a disability with multiple comorbidities or frailty. That's sort of pretty simple. Then we have anyone who has neurological conditions, and that can be something like stroke or dementia or other things that affect the nervous system. So that's a risk factor. Anything that has problems with breathing or the respiratory system.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
So that is something like chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD it's called. It can be moderate to severe asthma that requires you to have inhaled steroids, so use inhaled medications. Not just the standard salbutamol or Ventolin, Asmol, but the actual prescription medication. Right. People with other bronchial or neurological diseases, there's relating to your inhalation. Heart failure, a coronary artery disease, or other sort of severe cardiac diseases, again, risk factor because you now have heart problems. And if you get sick, that can escalate. One thing we found slightly interesting was obesity. So if your BMI is over 30, that is actually a risk factor for severe COVID. Just to now we're back on our eat properly exercise chat. Diabetes, any type, as long as if you need medication for your diabetes, that's a risk factor. People who has renal impairment or problems with their kidneys. And that does not mean ability to go to the toilet. We were talking about this. Mm. It is actually a blood test that the doctor will have to do, and where they can see how well your kidneys are cleaning up your blood and moving things along. And if they're not doing that properly, then we get a number that's called an EGRF, which, you know, what that? Mm. Anyway, if that's below 60, then we got to start looking. And that for me, oh, that's not too bad. Like, I start to get worried when we get below 30. But 60 is, they're saying below that, we're going to start to look. Normal, fully functioning, great kidneys are 90 or over.
Oh, okay. Well, so, yeah, 60 sounds like a good...
Yeah, so that's why it's there. Problems with your liver. And this was the one that we're going, oh, that was interesting for Braidwood.
Yeah, this is the one.
So this is the one. Patient has reduced or lack of access to higher level health care and live in an area of geographic remoteness classified by what is called the modified Monash model of category 5 or above. So category 1, for example, is Sydney.
Mm.
So like metropolis.
Yep, they've got everything.
And
there.
Then you have 2, 3, 4. So that's sort of getting into sort of rural centres, things
Dubbo,
like that.
Goulburn.
Yeah, bigger places. Mm. Category 5, that's Braidwood. So we actually consider to be geographically remote enough to be that's a risk factor.
Mm. And as we were discussing, you know, it's only an hour to Goulburn or to Canberra if you can get an ambulance and if you can get there and if you're chronically ill.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, so that's why if you are 60 to 69 and live in Braidwood, you are and you get COVID, you are actually eligible for the antivirals because of that one thing.
Hmm.
And I was actually quite surprised when I read it.
Yeah, I was surprised when you told me.
Yeah, so I was going, oh, wow, that was interesting. And I think Braidwood population needs to know this detail.
They certainly do need to know it.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, any past COVID infections, they're resulted in you ending up in hospital.
Oh, that'd be an obvious one.
Yeah, So anyway, 60 to 69 with one risk factor, so it's enough living in Braidwood, you can get the antivirals. Now, be aware, this is a change that was made to the PBS on the 1st of April, so your doctor may not still be aware of this change because they keep changing these things all the time.
Mm.
And I can tell you, sitting and reading through the schedules as where they say this drug is allowed for this person with based on these conditions is long and nasty, and sometimes it's like fishing in a soup or needle in a haystack to find the right code in order to be able to prescribe to you. So it's not easy, and I actually haven't looked up what the code number is for this one here, particularly with the Monash model of 5 for Braidwood. So, but I just think it's
really important people know,
because that also means that anyone who's 50 to 59 years of age, they can get the antivirals if they have 2 risk factors for developing severe disease. So that means, again, your first one is you live in Braidwood. Then you just need one more and you'll actually be eligible.
Mm. Well, that's been very, very informative, Benta. Yeah. And we're going to try really hard to have Health Chat on
once a month. Yep.
Third Monday of the month.
Yep.
And I'll look forward to that, and I'm sure the community will. And
we'll go from there.
We'll go from there.
Okay. Good on you, Rod. See ya.
See ya.